Coming up next, another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237.
Welcome to another edition of Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, president of Local 237 Teamsters. With us, a very special guest. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. We have John Castamatidis. John was born on the Greek island of Nisiros. He immigrated to New York City at 6 months. He worked his way through New York University, but just 8 credits short of graduating. John started his own business, and by the age of 25, owned 10 supermarkets. 4 decades later, his Red Apple group owns and operates companies in real estate, energy, sports, finance, and communications. His work at WABC station is rated the number one talk show station in the nation, which he grew from number 26. Welcome to Reaching Out. John, thank you very much for agreeing to come on.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm a New Yorker, and I've always been a New Yorker, and we're trying to do the best we can to make sure New York goes in the right direction and that we don't lose any more people leaving New York.
You know, that's a very key point, because I'm explaining to my members, everyone is short. The reason you're short is because people have left New York City. New York City is hard pressed, and every civil service job is competing for the same group of people. People have a choice of where they want to work. And in that choice, they're either choosing the police department, fire department, school safety, hospital police, but everybody's drawn from the same group of people who are qualified to work for New York City. And we have a shortage here in New York City.
Well, originally when I came into the supermarket business, I was a member of Local 338. So I was a union man. And then when I had 7 or 8 or 9 stores, the union president threw me out of the union. I could have had another pension by now.
Oh, John, I'm sorry he did that to you. But you know something? I don't know what the politics were in that decision, but I would love to have had you as one of my members.
Thank you very much. Hey, look, I believe in the unions. I believe in there's a lot of good bosses out there, but there's a lot of bad bosses out there. So you need a balance of power, and that's what the unions are for.
Thank you, John. What do you attribute your business success to the most?
If you read my book, and on page 255, I have a lot of great bullet points. And a lot of it depends on common sense. And common sense, unfortunately, is not all that common. I believe every problem has a solution. People have to sit down at the same table and work things out. You know, you can't, I don't believe in the word hate. I believe in sitting together and working things out. And the word hate should not exist in our vocabulary.
No, John, that's an interesting point. That's very good. I mean, you dislike somebody, but you still work with them. But hate is a real strong word. And I understand where you're coming from when you say we could all sit down and talk to one another and try to work something out. That's
I'll
a
give
great
you two
approach.
Examples. Mm-hmm. Bill Clinton, I was with him last week. We had a big party for Bill Clinton last week. And look, I worked for Bill Clinton. He was a great president. And he had a lot of common sense. And him and Newt Gingrich, who was the Speaker of the House, didn't like each other. But they sat down and did what's right for the people of our country and the world. They took the deficit from $5.5 trillion down to $5 trillion. Unbelievable. That is an unbelievable feat.
And when you say and down to $5 trillion.
And Chip O'Neill didn't like each other. Yeah. But they sat down at the same table, had a beer, and worked things out for what was good for America and what's good for the country and the world. And that's what the old-fashioned people did. not hate each other, not go at each other's throats. And that's what we need is more common sense.
And when you say he took a $5 trillion deficit and brought it down to $5 trillion, you mean he brought it down to a $5 trillion surplus? So he went from negative five to plus $5 trillion.
No, he went from $5.5 trillion deficit. He reduced it by 500 million down to $5 trillion.
Okay.
And that was the last time we ever saw $5 trillion. And now it's almost $40 trillion. So what happened between now and then? It's just out of control.
Yeah. Yeah. I understand completely. What were the challenges in you running your grocery businesses with multiple locations? You wrote in your book entitled, How Far Do You Want to Go? Lessons from a Common Sense Billionaire.
The challenges were honesty and integrity. You had to, I didn't borrow any money from the banks initially. Initially, the vendors that I did business with, the wholesalers I did business with, had confidence that I'm going to do the right thing by them. And they extended me the credit to be able to expand from one, two, three stores to 10 stores by the age of 24. And I did well. And guess what? They ended up doing well too.
Wow. And off the top
you
of
know,
your
now,
yeah.
I grew up in Harlem on 135th Street. And between Broadway and Amsterdam Avenue by City College, by Lewiston Stadium up there, I went to PS 192, 137th Street. And in those days, we walked through Harlem all the time. My mother used to go shopping at Bloomingdale's on 125th Street. There was nothing wrong with it. Where we ran into problems back in the 1960s, 1970s, you know where we ran into problems? When the kids came back from Vietnam, and a lot of them were drug addicts because of what Vietnam did to them. And
Wow.
That's a crime in itself. The crime is turning our American citizens into drug addicts in Vietnam. And then Harlem was never the same again.
Wow. That, you know, you're the only person who ever said that to me. I mean,
it's
I
the
heard a lot of
truth.
stories. No, I believe you. I
Yep.
believe you because if it didn't kill you, it turned you into a drug addict. And if you weren't a drug addict, you came back psychologically damaged because it was those categories. And if you were able to get out of those categories, something else was wrong with you. Well, I had a friend that worked with me. He since passed away. I'm going back maybe 35 years ago when I worked in hospital police. He told me he had jungle rot on his feet. And I'm a young 20-something-year-old guy. And I asked him what jungle rot. And because they couldn't change their socks and their clothes, his feet had jungle rot. And I said, you know, I've never heard of that. You know, fortunately, I didn't experience that. So I understand. And a lot of people came back. They were mentally, physically damaged.
Sad.
Yes. Yes, it was a sad, sad state. Oh man, it'd bring back some memories.
I went to a funeral in Harlem a few weeks ago. My good friend Al Thompson. I don't know if you knew Al Thompson.
Yes, I knew Al Thompson very well.
I went to the funeral.
Yeah.
Cardinal Dolan came to the funeral. He was a Marine, a real
Yes.
Marine. And you know, I'm from Harlem. He's from Harlem. David Patterson, who works for us, is from Harlem. He works for WABC. Dominic Carter. I mean, we are all from the same place. And we know how to talk to each other. And I'm kidding around with Al Thompson. And Al Thompson is saying to me, you know, the white people are coming to take over Harlem. I said, how much did you pay for your brownstone? He says, I paid $100,000. I said, how much is it worth now? He says, oh, about $3 million. I said, it's good news. You know, you can't complain. Let them take over for $3 million. See,
yeah.
you got to be
Yeah.
able to joke
Yeah.
around. You got to be able to talk. And you got to be able to have a relationship. And that's what's important about New York is about people.
Yeah, Al Thompson was a gunny sergeant in the Marines, and he's a great man. He had toys for tots. He all these organizations. When I met him, he was working, he was an executive at White Rose, the old White Rose.
Foods, and Steve
Yeah.
Boxer at White Rose was my best man at my wedding.
Ah, yeah. So he was in the grocery business. That's when I met him. And he used to wear these ties with Big Bird, Kermit the Frog, Sesame Street, all these school ties. That's when I knew he was a man that really loved helping children.
I gave him the red tie with the Eagles on it.
Ah, so now I know who gave him that tie. He wore it proudly. He's a good man. I saw him deteriorating over the years, and he and I spoke maybe once a month, once every other week. Whenever he had an event, we would always participate. Then he went. He had a few events. Then his last one was the Tri-Community Law Enforcement Organization.
We're doing a big event with 100 black men on June 17th. And we're going to do a conference, and participating from WABC is going to be David Patterson and Dominic Carter, along with the national chairman of 100 black men and the New York chairman, Eric from 100 black men, and putting together, America and common sense.
And where's this event going to take place?
It's going to take place in New York. It might. There's a big event on June 17th. I believe it's. I will get you the details.
Okay, and it's going to be during the day.
During the day. Oh, I think my. Well, depends what you consider day or night. It's probably going to be at 5 o'clock.
Oh well, because and just speaking, you're running into the Yankee Dodgers event at Yankee Stadium.
Oh my God! I mean, God forbid.
Yeah, I just happen to know that off the top of my head.
Oh, you must be a Yankee fan or a Dodger fan.
Well, I'm a baseball fan, so I know the Dodgers only come to town to play the Yankees once every three or so years. So it's just a big event, especially after.
I will let them know.
Okay. All right. What was your motivation for to write this book? What you now have a radio show on WABC and with the number
we
one
own WABC.
What's that?
We own WABC. And guess what? We're trying to make a difference to make sure America stays America the way me and you grew up.
Well, I grew up in Brooklyn. My father worked at the old Sydenham Hospital, which was in Harlem before it closed in 1979 was the announcement of the closing. I remember because I was in high school, and he was one of the last people to leave in 1981, where they transferred him to Kings County Hospital. I
I
remember.
went to Brooklyn Tech by subway every day from 137th Street subway all the way to DeKalb Avenue at 14 years old, and I graduated Brooklyn Tech in 1966.
Wow. You're listening to Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, President of Local 237 Teamsters. With us, a very special guest, WABC, and I'm going to say the owner of WABC, with the number one talk show, John Kestamatidis. Thank you for coming on Reaching Out.
Well, thank you for having me. I mean, we're here to talk about the problems of New York,
sure,
and how do we solve them, and how do we make a better New York for all of us and for our kids and grandkids.
Thank you. And how did it become such a hit in a relatively short time? In such a short time, what was your secret formula? You've been quoted in saying that time is the most precious commodity. Use every second.
We brought in a lot of people. We brought in a lot of people that were talented. Dominic Carter has been in New York for many, many years. David Governor Patterson, many, many years. We brought in... Cousin Brucey. I don't know if you remember Cousin Brucey. The music. Your father probably listened to Cousin Brucey.
I know Cousin Brucey. Yes.
Cousin Brucey's on every Saturday night. And guess what? Cousin Brucey is 89 years old and going strong. And I used to listen to Cousin Brucey when I went to Brooklyn Tech, and I had a transistor radio with three transistors in it. And people still love him. We brought in we brought in talent from every side, not only Democrats, not only Republicans, independents. If you were a talented person, you had the right to come on and talk. I brought in a Hispanic guy, Fernando Mateo, and he's a
Fernando Mateo.
yes,
Yes.
he's on every week now
Yes.
at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock on Sundays, and he speaks from the heart,
Yeah.
and he'll tell you how other politicians have screwed him.
How much time do you give Fernando?
Fernando's on 1 hour every week, and he wants to go to more hours.
Well, let me tell you something. An hour is not enough for Fernando. Believe me. I know
I
Fernando.
know, I know.
Yeah.
I listen to him every
Yeah.
week.
Yeah, Fernando, a very, very energetic person. I know he was the head of the taxi association at one time for the drivers,
Yes.
and he's
He was
a lot of
complaining
things.
the other night on Sunday night, he was on. He was complaining that 80 people died, taxi cab drivers died, and nobody even went to their funeral. The mayor at that time didn't even go to their funeral, which is a sin. Sin, sin, sin. And you need, whether you're a mayor or a governor or whatever, you need some common sense. You got to care about the people.
Yes, Fernando. Good individual. Good individual. Absolutely. When does he come on Saturdays?
On Sundays at 6 o'clock. Well,
Sunday
let me
at
tell you
six
the rest of the
o'clock.
story. 5 o'clock, this guy named Governor Andrew Cuomo comes on from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock. From 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock, it's Fernando Mateo. But I got to put up a wall in between them because I'm sure I don't think they like each other.
Well, I guess it's the Battle of the Boroughs.
Well, everybody has to have that. I believe in people having their chance to expound themselves.
Yes, I know both of them. That's something. Yes. So I know you said time is the most precious commodity. There's some people out there that may say, John, what do you mean time is the most precious commodity? What do you mean by that?
What do I mean by that is, I'm getting to be in my 70s right now. The problem is, I've seen too many people pass away. Our creator, God, our creator, it's 90 years old, give or take 5 years. So we're losing too many friends. And if you take care of yourself, maybe you go to 95. If you don't take care of yourself, you're going to die at 75. So that's bottom line. I tell people, I tell my friends, I tell my good friends. I had lunch with a few good friends. Don't put chemicals in your coffee. Don't drink food. Don't eat foods or don't drink foods that have chemicals in them, because if our creator, if God created the food, eat it. If a major manufacturer created it and put all the chemicals in it, be careful, because they worry more about how long does it last on the shelf and how good does it taste good. If you die, you're expendable. But I don't believe that. I believe that we have to eat and drink, and we can live to be 95 to 100 if we're careful.
John, this is a good philosophy.
Thank you.
I've lost a lot of friends. I'm 63. I've lost all of my siblings. We didn't live past the age of 57, was my youngest brother. And my grandfather, which was my father's father, died at 56. And I never had that number out of my mind. And I told my wife, Wendy, if I can make it to 56 and beyond, I think I'll be all right. Because she said
Well,
now.
I was with Bill Clinton last Thursday night, and we were sitting at the same table together. Six of us at that table with President Clinton were with him on the last dinner at the White House 26 years ago. And we're still there. And President Clinton got up to speak, and he says he's going to be 80 years old in August. And this is, he has outlived every. The last four generations from his mother's side, the last four generations from his father's side, and he is grateful that he's going to be 80 years old.
As New Yorkers, we've seen our city go through some rough times in many ways. Going forward, what's your advice to our leaders? Government.
For our leadership?
Finances, yes.
Law enforcement. Common sense. Common sense. What is happening right now is we had a big, big scandal on drugs. We got to stay away. And I worry about our kids and grandkids. This legalization of marijuana, no matter how good people think they are, it's not good for our kids and grandkids, because sooner or later, they're going to graduate from marijuana to something even worse. The whole state of Colorado has marijuana. I mean, what's going on? China, in my opinion, could cut off all the fentanyl coming in from Mexico through the gangs in 5 minutes. But that fentanyl is coming in, killing our kids, killing our grandkids. I don't understand the Democratic Party that was criticizing President Trump because we were knocking out those boats full of drugs coming in from Venezuela. Why are we doing that? I don't want any drug boats coming in. I believe in immigration. I was vice chairman of Ellis Island. Bill Fugazi was chairman. Lee Iacocca was honorary chairman. We believe in immigration. Bring them in. I don't care where they come in from, Africa, Europe, South America. But what Ellis Island used to do is to make sure that the people are coming in are going to swear allegiance to the United States of America, care about the United States of America. So those are immigrants. My grandfathers came here. My father came here. They came here with the intent that they're going to work 80 hours a week to make their kids and grandkids better. Okay, better. What the migrants are coming in, there's a difference with the migrants. They're coming in wanting to change our way of life, and they want us to pray for them. That's not what America is all about.
No.
We don't want anybody changing our, we don't want anybody changing our way of life. America's America. If you're coming here to change our way of life, forget about it.
You're right. You're right.
When my father came in, I'm going to tell you a story quickly.
Mm-hmm.
My father, his two brothers had to sign on a dotted line that if he doesn't pay for the rent, they're going to go to him for it. Now, these migrants are coming in and they go straight to the Waldorf Astoria, just about the Roosevelt Hotel, $400 a day rooms. I mean, our veterans are dying in the streets of New York. Our homeless are dying in the streets of New York, and we're giving these migrants $400 a day rooms to live in. We're giving them free telephones. We're giving them free meals. What happened to a little bit of checks and balances? What happened to that? We want people to be immigrants, to come in, to work hard, and pledge allegiance to the United States of America, not to come in and try to change Americans' way of life.
I agree with you, and that was some elected officials who decided that they were going to give away free stuff. And when you give away free stuff, the line will be around the block for blocks and blocks and blocks.
Yes, and the veterans stuff wasn't are dying given to in the Americans. Streets. The veterans are dying out in the streets and dying suicide. Yeah. 25 of the veterans a day were dying of suicide.
Yeah, and that was a. That should have been a change in policy. And
yeah, me and Al Thompson stood side by side on that.
Totally agree with you.
Yeah.
And John, that's all the time we have for this edition of Reaching Out.
I'll come back next time again.
Oh, then you have an invitation.
Well, thank you for having me.
To Reaching Out, I'm Gregory Floyd, President Local 237, our very special guest. And he was very informative. I enjoyed talking to him. John Kestamatidis. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
God bless you. God bless
God
New
bless
York.
You.
Let's all work hard and save New York.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. And don't forget to tune in again each and every Saturday at this same time for another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237. The preceding pre-recorded program paid for by Teamsters Local 237.